Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
And we are coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. It's the Ken Carmen Show on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Sorry, I had to fire off a tweet. Corey Coleman just got traded. The Browns only make news when I'm in a rout. I swear to God, David. It's amazing. So maybe you could throw that in for fair or foul or sounding off. I don't know how much. I don't know how much. I don't know how much audio you'd have for sounding off, but fine, we could do that if you really wanted to. Welcome into the show. I got a couple of things I want to get to first before I get to what I want to really get to today, because we got plenty of time to get into Urban Meyer. Let me say this: what Urban Meyer did on Friday was a Hail Mary. When you admit that you misspoke or you weren't ready to speak to people, you basically admitted, hey, I put you in the wrong position. I said something, and this is the truth of the matter. When Urban Meyer goes up to the dais and he lies, he's not lying to the media, which people have tried to turn it into. He's lying to you. The media is the messenger. But this is the thing. If Urban Meyer lied about that and he did what was right, it's all forgiven. It really is. It's all forgiven. Because fans can get over being lied to. Hell, I can get over being lied to. People lie. They're put in bad positions, they lie. They're put in tough spots, they lie. They're put in tough spots they don't really know about. They're put in tough spots maybe hours before they're ready to really say something. I'm sure there probably was some notice to Urban Meyer about this before the story for Brent McMurphy actually came out about Zach Smith. They had fired Zach Smith before he went up to the dais there. So if he went there and he wasn't really ready for it, which is what Urban Meyer said in his release back on Friday, hey, you lied, that's bad. People can get over it. They'll get their little pound of flesh. If you lied and did the right thing, people can get over it. You can be forgiven for that. If you lie about the lie, that's a completely different question. Because what Urban Meyer did back on Friday, again, was a Hail Mary. It was to, one, save his job, which is understandable to that level, or two, and Kyle Rowland pointed this out from the Toledo Blade, and a couple of other people did as well, that this could have been, with Zach Smith putting his self out there afterwards, this could have been part of a tactic to get a better buyout. Because it led me to have several more questions of this. Because at first I thought, man, if Urban Meyer knew about this and he didn't say anything about domestic violence charges against his own staff, allegations against his own staff, and he said nothing, he did nothing, then he's got to go. It's right up there in your basic tenets of your organization, of your program, to respect women. That's part of respecting women. And when it comes out with these texts, when Brent McMurphy comes out with these texts, you could say what you want to about, well, nobody knew. The problem is that if Urban Meyer didn't know, then you've still had a culture where they're going to protect the head coach from knowing something very, very serious in the name of what? In the name of winning. That's the wrong thing. If he didn't know about it, there's a problem. If he did know about it, obviously there's a problem. He comes out on Friday and admits he knew. Okay. If you knew something and you're putting up Gene Smith, now I need to ask Gene Smith questions. Now I need to ask questions from the team, from the school president all the way down. I need to ask the people who are in charge of the controlling of the program. I need to ask the people who are in charge of compliance, usually the same. I need to ask those type of people, what was going on here? Where was this not reported? I need to ask questions of the Powell police. Frankly, this is where it stands. There's still more questions to be asked. Some people took this as some sort of, I saw Jeff Harmon, who is a former Buckeye, and a couple of people saying, man, don't mess with the goat, baby. This is Urban Meyer. You don't mess with the goat. Hold on. Hold on. You're not through the woods just yet, Hoss. Gene Smith has to have his say. The independent counsel who is investigating this, they have to have their say. If they find out that Urban Meyer did the right thing, away you go. We'll get this figured out. Might mean bad things for Gene Smith. Ohio State fans will find another AD. But what this was a Hail Mary. And it does lead me to several other questions. if you knew about Gene Smith, or if you knew about Zach Smith and you had said it to Gene Smith, Gene Smith did nothing. When this report first comes out, then why did you fire him? If you knew nothing had happened, then why did you fire him? You could say you knew more about the situation. Again, though, you were supposed to do something about those allegations. You said something to Gene Smith. We see no real internal investigation right now, unless there's something being drawn up at this moment. We see no real internal investigation till now, so that leads me to believe you've done something wrong. Second part, through everything Zach Smith said, does anybody find it kind of weird that he's defending himself against domestic violence, which no one wants to be accused of domestic violence, even guys who do domestic violence. Where is it? And I'm looking up and down. Where's the part about wrongful termination? Now, I'm talking to a lot of guys out there, and I'm talking to a lot of guys who wouldn't hit a woman because it's the wrong thing to do. It's one of the three things you never want to be. You never want to be a child molester. You never want to be a racist. You never want to be a person who's a domestic abuser. You never want to be those things. And I'm talking to a lot of guys who feel the exact same way. If you knew, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you did not do this, would you or would you not be screaming from the mountaintops to clear your own name? Would you or would you not be threatening to sue for wrongful termination? Would you or would you not? I sure as hell know if it was me, and I got fired for such a matter, and I knew in my heart of hearts I didn't do it, I'd be fighting tooth and nail. If you're a football coach and you didn't do these things, even though Brett McMurphy has texts between you and your former spouse, your ex-wife, even though there's photographs, it looks like she ain't making it up, you have your side, you have your day in court, and you have your court of public opinion. And whether I like it or not, or whether anybody else likes it or not, there are people who do want to believe you. No one wants to believe bad things about their favorite coaches. No one wants to believe bad things about their favorite program. If that is the case, don't you think you'd be yelling to defend yourself? Hypothetically, if that were to happen, wouldn't you? You're a football coach. Your entire name is your reputation. Forget about even just that. Your grandfather, the reason why Zach Smith had a job in the first place, because let's be honest, Ohio State fans would certainly agree with this. He wasn't that great of a coach to begin with. Your grandfather is Earl Bruce. Passed away, coaching legend for Ohio State, the people really, really loved, who continued to be around the program for years afterward, did the right thing years and years and years forward, and continued to be a beacon for the university and for its fan base for years. Wouldn't you want to clear that too? And through all this, I keep hearing, well, Urban didn't know. I'm talking and I'm defending the guy who fired me. Why aren't you defending yourself? Because moving forward here, I'm getting no strong, real strong defense other than a Reddit page or a website with people who are anonymous. People who say they're a lawyer, people who say they're close to the situation. But I got people who are willing to go on television and accuse you. You're willing to go on television if you're Zach Smith and defend yourself. But still, when you've been fired from a very well-paying job, from a job that does have a huge leaping off point for you, there's no threat of this. So I wonder, and I can't help but ask the question, what have we been talking about? I'm not talking about you and me. I'm talking about you two. What's been going on between Urban? What's been going on between Zach? What's going on there? Because if I'm not hearing you defend yourself and saying, hey, I got to sue Ohio State for wrongful termination. Now, there might be something in the works, and they should have something in the works about this if he's going to defend himself. Because if you did not do this, then you need to defend yourself tooth and nail. If you did do this and you just don't want it to come out, you can't have it both ways, bub. Ain't going to work that way. So now you have a very tough situation. And for Ohio State fans, and I've heard all throughout the week because I'm based out of Cleveland, I've heard every single way for it. And I heard a call right before we went on with Sean Pendergast saying, well, you know, I believe and I'm not my brother's keeper. Maybe it's not my business. Why does he have to answer to it? People are going to bring that up later today, and I welcome you to it because it's absolute garbage. Urban Meyer says it right there in his statement that he released from his own Twitter, not with Ohio State, that he released from his own Twitter on Friday, said he did the right thing, said he reported as per his contract would state that he's supposed to do. So if we say that he's not his brother's keeper, you cannot absolve him of the responsibility because Urban Meyer himself is not absolving him of that responsibility. So now that he has that, that's not a defense anymore. And to be completely honest with each other, is that a defense anyway? Let's just ask more questions while we're out of it, because so many people said, well, Ken, and I host a show with a co-host every single morning. Well, Ken, if your co-host had a problem with his wife and he was hitting his wife and you knew about it, why wouldn't you say so? Would you say something? You would say something. Why wouldn't you? Why would you say something? It's not your business. The problem is I have to say something because it means more. See, for Urban Meyer, he had to say something because it's bigger than him. And Urban Meyer needs to understand what's good for his legacy is good for everybody else out there. It really is. What's good for him is good for his other assistant coaches. What's good for him is good for his family. What's good for him is good for his in-laws. What's good for him is good for his program, for his players, his future players, and his players' players afterwards. It's what's good. Urban Meyer wins a lot of games. And if he knew in 2015, and he knew that he had told somebody and they weren't doing what they were supposed to do, which is what this statement alleges, I have to ask for more. I have to ask you to do more, or I have to ask you to put yourself out there, because we did this with Jim Tressel, with Gene Smith, and we'll do this with Urban Meyer, with Gene Smith. Is that if you know you're in Ohio, and you're the head coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes, and you are that important and that powerful of a person, you know that that clock runs on your time every single way forward, and it's because of what the success that you've brought, that it's not just your program, but the programs around you with men's and women's basketball, with baseball, with softball, and 30-plus other sports that still are helped by your program. What's good for you is good for them. And that you have a responsibility, which is in his contract, a responsibility to inform somebody. If he knows that that hasn't been carried out, if he knows that there has not been any leave of absence, any real investigation, he owes it to his own program and his own future to persist. I know it's a distraction. I know it's a distraction for the kids. I know it might be a distraction for getting in the way of the winning, but we are talking about domestic violence here, and I understand that it might get in the way of some things, but you have to do what is necessary because this is deathly serious. If we were talking, and I'm dead serious about this, I've come to expect a good program that wins a lot of games. I've come to expect that there's $100 handshakes and phony car leases, and false jobs, no-show jobs. I've come to expect it over this time. It's just part of it. And it's just, what can you get away with without getting caught? But when I look at this situation and situations previous, you got to be better. Because if you get caught thinking about the right now and what could possibly be a distraction for my winning right now, you have lost focus. And for Urban, this is two times now. You go back to Florida, he ain't welcome back by Florida fans. He ain't welcome back to those reunions. And you go to this twice, this is, again, another big impropriety. And a lot of Ohio State fans, even though they might not want to admit it, they know in the back of their heads, they know that there was a possibility of this going down. They knew it from Florida. They knew it hearing from Florida fans when they were on their websites, when they were on their Reddit boards, when they were on their message boards, when they were on Twitter, when they were on Facebook. They knew it. And this is different, because when Jim Tressel went down for what seems to be peanuts compared to this, when Jim Tressel went down, people loved Jim Tressel. And if Jim Tressel can go down, so will Urban Meyer. And the difference is that people would have voted Jim Tressel to be the governor of Ohio, and I put my hand to God for this. People would have voted for Jim Tressel, governor of Ohio, the day during he was in trouble getting ready for a show cause penalty. That's the connection that people have with Jim Tressel in Ohio. For Urban, it's much more businesslike. They're happy to win. They're happy to continue to win. But if this goes down, he will be forgotten. Ohio State's a major program with a lot of money that will protect what their program's supposed to be. And for all that, that means that this is a business venture, and so will the next one. And if you've messed up this much, you must move forward. For people who want to put this bow on this and say this is over, I'd like to see the reality you think you live in. because we're talking about something deathly serious and something that somebody might have known. And if he told somebody and he ran it up the flagpole, you get to have your Urban Meyer, but you have serious problems around your facilities. You have serious problems around your program. 855-212-4CBS. Yesterday, we saw some of the greats go into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I want to do this quickly. But I think I can do this quickly, and I think I can make this a point. I think we might have lost focus over these last couple of weeks. Being from Canton, I didn't take offense that Terrell Owens didn't want to have his speech in the steps of Canton. I didn't take offense to that. What I watched yesterday with Jerry Kramer, with Randy Moss, with Brian Urlacher, with Robert Brazil, who took way too long to get in there with Jerry Kramer, with Bobby Bethard and his recorded message because he was struggling to make it through because he has early onset dementia, with Brian Dawkins and even with Ray Lewis. You came away entertained. You came away inspired. You came away with great stories. You got to see the greats that you enjoyed. And through all of this, I wake up to Facebook posts. I wake up to tweets about Terrell Owens and how Terrell Owens is selfish, how he's self-centered, how he's bad, how he's always been bad, and he ain't going to change. He spoke about that yesterday. Terrell Owens at UT Chattanooga spoke about that yesterday. He said this is why he didn't go.
Many of you may be wondering why we're here instead of Canton. It's not because how many times it took for me to be voted into the hall. It's about the mere fact that the sports writers are not in alignment with the mission and core values of the Hall of Fame.
He's got a point. He's got a point. I look at his stats, and I say this without reservation. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Him and Randy Moss, it's hard for me to make a decision between the two. And we could put out the poll, and I'm probably going to put out the poll. Between those two, we're talking about two great wide receivers. And at a time of athleticism, and yes, the ball being passed more than we've ever seen, that is very true and maybe should be part of the thought. He's got a point. I've never seen him in sincere criminal trouble. We've seen him put himself at personal risk in his personal life. Allegedly with personal risk, certainly seriously in his personal life. But we've never seen him truly be in trouble criminally. But because he was a jerk to the media, we took that away. Us, in the media, the voters, people who are voters, we took that opportunity away. And then he went to speak because we didn't get to see it at this time, and this is where it's all coming to fruition here, is that he spoke about the two most important people in his life. David, hit it.
They say behind every great man is a great woman. Well, I had two, my mama and my grandmama.
Did he even mention the naysayers there, David? Hit it!
To the critics and doubters, those individuals who have smiled in my face but defamed me behind my back, you know who you are. This is for you.
We have overreacted. Terrell Owens doing this to the steps of UT Chattanooga will not start this trend of Hall of Famers in their yellow jackets doing speeches from here or there or anywhere else. It will not start that. Jerry Kramer waited 45 years and walked up to the dais and gave a great speech because Jerry Kramer is an eloquent speaker and a fine man. Ray Lewis gave a great speech. I wish he would have said more about a certain situation that he could always do a little bit more to help himself at, but he didn't do so. That's Ray Lewis, but it was still an entertaining speech. I'll always give him that. Brian Dawkins spoke about his teammates in a sport that is becoming more and more self-aggrandizing and more with your self-worth every single week because of what the NFL does to players. Robert Dr. Doom Brazil waited so long and finally got in. Randy Moss gave a great speech. Brian Urlacher spoke well. These are men that we revere and we love because we love these teams, and in turn, we love these players. Given their rights, given their wrongs, given their falses, whatever it might be. And for Terrell Owens, I thought he missed a sincerely golden opportunity to stand there with a gold jacket among the greats, which in turn become his peers. All that would have been said at the same time in Canton. And if he's saying that he goes after the writers, how many people who are fans of him, who are fans of the game, who are fans of the greatness of football, and to know that, yes, Terrell Owens at times has been immature, flashy, cantankerous, but is also talented. and also played exceedingly well in a Super Bowl on a broken leg that we can never take anything away from him. We know that. How much more would those words have meant at the dais in Canton? I ask him that. Because for him, I'm not mad at Terrell Owens. I didn't take it as a sincere form of disrespect. As a person from Canton who has grown up admiring, revering, and being a part of the festivities, I did not take it as a spit in the face. I'm glad that the Hall of Fame came to their senses and acknowledged him during the speeches. David Baker wrote that right or righted that wrong a week ago and put everybody on blast and made sure that everybody knew about it a week ago, which I'm glad that he did. I just feel we missed that opportunity because there's so many guys who we grow up in for whatever reason. Maybe it's a sports hate, maybe it's a real hate, whatever it might be. There's so many guys who we just don't understand. And for that moment, that greatness, we have a chance to understand, we have a chance to revere, we have a chance to appreciate. And for Terrell Owens, whether it be petty, whether it just be personal, whatever it might be, I just feel he missed that opportunity. 855-212-4CBS. More of you coming up next. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is the Ken Carmen Show on CBS Sports Radio.
1035, 1040, Ben Kercheval will join us. CBS Sports College Football. I got to get right to the phones. 855-212-4CBS. It's Terrell Owens. It's Urban. Hopefully you won't get them mixed up. I want to go to, let's go to Jeff in Cleveland. Jeff, you're first up on CBS Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, guys. First I want to say, I don't think, Urban Meyer, it's not his responsibility anyway to be the judge, the jury, and the executioner. Where do the law come in? What's their responsibility? Shouldn't they be reporting this thing?
Jeff, it is his responsibility. Jeff, he admitted in a statement on Friday it's his responsibility. He said he fulfilled his obligation and he reported.
And I also think if Zach Smith would have been African-American, it would have been all over the news the same day. It might have even had videos of him.
Well, the first one I can go against. The second one, I
don't think Urban Meyer should be held responsible for the law. He's not a lawman. He's a coach. Let the law do their job. They should be reporting this stuff to schools. Okay, this guy, we got him convicted here. We got to send his deposition down here or something.
Jeff. He said he. But this is the thing. He admits it. It's his responsibility. Thank you for the call. The other thing I can't really attest to. He admits it's his responsibility. He says it right there on Friday in a statement. He said it was his responsibility, and he reported it. So if the man himself is saying that, yeah, it's right there, it's in my contract, I reported it, okay, well then that's the case right there. But we're talking about something that's different from where the cops are. And trust me, it's not like we're looking at different cops because we've heard the different – it's not like we're looking at different parts of this and thinking, well, wait a minute, where do the Powell police work into this? Because for the Powell police, we're hearing reports about, well, that the first report there was a checkbox that said that Zach Smith was arrested. Then there was a checkbox that said he wasn't arrested or an unchecked box that said he wasn't arrested. So which one has it come out on? This creates a lot of questions. And to fully say, and I know that you're not saying this, but there's so many, well, this exonerates Urban Meyer. Whoa, no. Because Gene Smith's the AD and Gene Smith's going to have his say. And if he went after toe-to-toe with Jim Tressel and got Jim Tressel out of there, I don't think Gene Smith's afraid of any man. 855-212-4CBS. What's this mean for Ohio State? What's this mean for the rest of college football? And obviously, what's going to happen during the rest of college football? Ben Kercheval going to join us.
You're listening to Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
855-212-4227. That's CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line. It's brought to you by Geico. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico.com. Go to Geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. A lot going on in college football. Not a lot of going on that's good in Columbus. To speak about it all, we welcome on Ben Kercheval, who joins us from CBS Sports. He's slanging the hot takes. He says Rasheed Wallace is his biological father. I read that all on his Twitter. Follow him on Twitter because they're good tweets, at Ben Kercheval. Ben, thanks for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
What do you think is going to happen with Urban Meyer and Ohio State?
I don't know. It's still a little bit too early to tell. What I would say, the big development from Friday with Urban Meyer releasing a statement and being pretty vehement about the fact that he planned on being back with the team at some point in the future, and then with Zach Smith speaking on both SportsCenter and then with a radio station in Columbus, indicating that Gene Smith, the athletic director there, knew about this incident from 2015. And so I think a lot of the focus has shifted, not just from Urban Meyer, but now to Gene Smith. What did he know? When did he know? What was the – did he know before Urban Meyer? Did they talk about this extensively? So I think he's now been roped into this a little bit. I don't think that was by accident either. So I don't know now that it's just a question of what's going to happen to Urban Meyer. I think you're probably looking at one of three situations. Either Meyer's going to be gone, Gene Smith's going to be gone, or they're both going to be gone. I think the least likely situation here is that both of them keep their jobs. To me, reading Meyer's statement, listening to Zach Smith's comments, I would even venture to say that this was a premeditated move to almost put the ball in Gene Smith's court. I don't think Urban Meyer certainly doesn't want to take the fall for it, but I think he has no problem having Gene Smith take the fall for this.
Ben, what's bothering me so much about this is, you know, Zach Smith comes out and he tries to defend himself, which even if he did do this, nobody wants to admit that they've done this, okay? All this right. is one of the most horrific things you can think of. But if you're so innocent and you're just carrying this water for Urban Meyer the way you are, I got to think on the other side. Now, wait a minute. You have your own name that you have to protect. You are a college football coach. This is very, very bad for your future here. If you, in fact, didn't do this, why is he really not talking about wrongful termination suits? Why is he not talking about anything like that?
Probably because his 2015 case is still open. And first and foremost, he probably wants to get that taken care of before he goes and pursues anything else. And you can fight a multi-front war if you really want to, but I would imagine first and foremost, he wants to have, if he feels like he's innocent, he wants to have his name cleared in the court of law before he decides to start going off and pursuing any kind of lawsuits against Ohio State in this matter. But to your point, it was very interesting to hear him talk about Urban Meyer, talk about him glowingly. They read him that statement that Meyer released on Friday, and he just spoke of Meyer in such these incredible terms. And if you think that, hey, you know, I was fired for, you know, something I didn't do, then I don't know that I would be speaking so glowingly about it. And moreover, you can kind of flip the coin on the other side in that if Meyer believed him from 3 years ago and decided not to do anything, then why now? Why are you getting let go now? I think that's the other part of that question.
I also question the police reports, Ben. Ben Kercheval joining us on the show, because from what I read from the Brett McMurphy story on his Facebook, is you have this police report that somebody had saw or didn't see, because that's still murky, but one police report said that there was a checkbox that Zach Smith was arrested, then a second one came out and said that there was a checkbox that said Zach Smith wasn't arrested. Where do the POW police fall into this down in Columbus, where they could be under some sort of an internal investigation, I should say, in their own right about this matter?
I would guess that is coming at some point down the road. That's part of it, but the checkbox that said he was arrested, Zach Smith has maintained that he wasn't arrested or charged in that situation, and that was a big reason why Urban Meyer decided not to really pursue this on his own any further, that they had this conversation, and he's like, yeah, I wasn't arrested, I wasn't charged, you've read the police report. And then, you know, we're supposed to believe that Meyer said, okay, well, then I guess that's that, and sort of wipes his hands clean of the whole situation. But I would imagine that if the story has changed on a legal level, on a police department level, that is going to be coming down the pike at some point, that they need to figure out exactly whose story is right on this one, because, you know, those details are obviously going to matter on both Zach Smith's case and then also as it relates to Ohio State.
All right, I got Ari Wasserman coming up next hour, so I'll get you off the frying pan because I want to see what you're thinking here for who's going to make the college football playoff. We're still a month away from the season starting, but what are you thinking your top four is going to be at the end of the season?
Well, Ohio State was in that as of about a couple days ago. I don't know so much now. Obviously, it depends on Urban Meyer, so I'm going to put them tentatively out, but I'm going to keep Alabama in. I'm going to keep Clemson in. I do think Washington has enough to get it done out of the Pac-12. They're going to have a great early test in the season against Auburn. But I love what they have coming back, and obviously Chris Peterson's an excellent coach. A team that they replace a ton, but I think that they have enough overall experience is TCU. They're sort of my wild card. I think a lot of people are going to favor Oklahoma in the Big 12. West Virginia is that trendy team, but I like what they have at quarterback with Sean Robinson, and then with the defense, again, replacing with a lot of guys, but they have overall experience coming back, even if they don't have the starts coming back.
18 years for Gary Patterson there. I got to tell you, Ben, I think I love this pick that you're saying with TCU, man. I really do.
Everyone's 0-0, so if you're going to make it, now's the time.
I agree. Ben Kercheval joining us on the show. I want to look at what the rest of the Big 12, because you brought up the Big 12. Dana Holgorsen 7-6 last year. Some people, they get upset about it. Where do you see West Virginia? And you mentioned that they might be a trending pick. Where do you see them as a program? Because some people get upset with him. You know, he's in his eighth year. They have really good seasons, and they have a kind of an up-and-down year. I don't know if you really let go of a guy like that, because you're always still in the conversation. And I don't know if West Virginia's, no disrespect to Mountaineer fans, but I don't know if West Virginia's really one of those creme de la creme places where you can fire a guy and expect to get something really good in return.
So I actually grew up in Morgantown. And I grew
don't
up
hate me for that, Ben. Don't kill me. I'm sorry.
I don't care. I don't. I grew up around it, and I know a little bit of the ins and outs of it. And so there was that three-year stretch where they had Rich Rod and Pat White. And that was a really – they were very spoiled out of that. But if you look at them historically, like those Don Nealon years, they were super consistent. They always won about seven, maybe eight games. But that was back when the Big East was really tough. And that was sort of your ceiling. Well, in the Big 12, you're at a little bit of a recruiting disadvantage. It's still a hard place to get recruits to come to outside of if you're recruiting Pennsylvania and Ohio and places like that. They'll get some kids out of Florida. But it doesn't produce a lot of in-state recruits. So you're just already kind of behind the eight ball there. And then you're not going to be running anything different from what other programs also run and sometimes and usually run a little bit better. I think Holgorsen's a brilliant guy. I mean, he really is. He's one of the smartest offensive minds in the country. He took the air raid and made his completely own branch of around it with that running game. They have Will Grier, who's a legitimate Heisman candidate. They have David Sills, who's probably a Biletnikoff finalist. So they have sort of that James Washington, Mason Rudolph mojo that Oklahoma State had last year. But what they don't have is defensive depth. And I think that's especially true up along the defensive front. So that's going to be really tough when you get into the meat of that schedule. You get into November, and I don't have the schedule in front of me, but I think they have four, like, stupid tough games back-to-back-to-back-to-back. They play, like, Oklahoma and TCU and, like, Oklahoma State or somebody like that, like, 4 weeks in a row. And when your depth is at a premium in November, that's a really tough thing to overcome. And we've seen what West Virginia is when Will Grier isn't playing. So I think their ceiling is probably 9 wins, which that might be good enough to get you to the Big 12 championship game. Mm-hmm. But I think that November stretch is going to be a little bit too much for them. So I have them at about 8-4, which is still pretty good, all things considered. But if you're not getting to the Big 12 championship this year, I think a lot of West Virginia fans view this is your actual rare opportunity to get to that game. I don't know if they quite have enough juice on defense to get it done, though.
Ben Kercheval joining us on the show. Follow him on Twitter at Ben Kercheval. Who's your Heisman Trophy candidate? Who's the leader in the clubhouse to start the season?
It starts with Bryce Love. I mean, the dude's just an absolute monster. I think what I really like about him is he doesn't have a lot of weaknesses to his game. He's just a really well just blended player. Has better, I think, strength than he's given credit for. But obviously the speed and the big playability is what really gets you. I think, you know, with the way that they use their running backs, David Shaw is sort of in this dilemma of like, okay, I don't want to overuse the guy, but at the same time, we know he still has that kind of Christian McCaffrey, you know, esque to him where you want to be able to get your best player the ball all the different ways that you can. And so that's a tough situation for Shaw to try to balance, but with Love, he gives you the explosiveness. He gives you great balance, and he has all the things that you want out of a running back. I think just coming into the year, he's just probably the most complete player at really any position. But I think Trace McSorley out of Penn State will certainly have his opportunities. I would really like to see someone defensively get some more love. I think you could pick any one of Clemson's starting four defensive linemen, and you wouldn't hear a complaint from me.
How impressive a job has Dabo Swinney done? Where I know he's been there. It feels like he's been there 2 years. Been there 11 years now.
Yeah.
And how impressive a job has he done where it's become a reloading situation, not any sort of a rebuild at Clemson. They just continue to churn it out the way that Ohio State has become accustomed to and the way that Alabama has.
So we talked about Urban Meyer earlier in the segment. I think you can make an argument, even though Meyer is the only active coach other than Saban to have multiple national titles, I think you can make an argument that right now in 2018, Dabo Swinney's number two to Nick Saban. With just the way that he's had, three straight playoff appearances? I think other than Alabama, no one else has had that in the playoff era. Obviously, still pretty young into that. But just the fact that he has them in a position to make the top four every single year. They have a great quarterback situation going into this year, and they're coming off of a once-in-a-generation player in Deshaun Watson, where you know you can win with Kelly Bryant, but you feel really good about the future with Trevor Lawrence. Just depending on which way that ends up going. So I think you feel good about either option. Defensively, I mentioned any one of those four guys, Christian Wilkins, along the defensive line. They've really kind of become D-line U, the new D-line U for college football. You know, you really think about like what Miami used to be. I think Clemson is sort of that new modern-day version of that. They have great assistants. Dabo has a really ever-growing coaching tree. All those boxes that you want to check off of having an elite coach, I think he's done it.
Ben, thank you so much for the time. All the respect, all the brilliance out of you with all this. Thank you very much. Hope to run you down again very soon.
All right, man. Take care. Have a good night.
You too. Ben Kercheval joining us on the show. CBS Sports College Football writer at Ben Kercheval on Twitter. Has Bama, Clemson, Washington, TCU there. Says Dabo's number two to Nick Saban. Which I Ohio State has a history. Clemson has good history. And when we do this, say there's, as of right now, when you just go by basic accolades, I know that Urban Meyer's in hot water, and we're getting ready to talk about that again. What Dabo's done is extremely impressive. Clemson's had a good history. They're not the history Alabama of Ohio State. You got to put that into regard. 855-212-4CBS. Coming up next, I know you're not going to believe me, but you must trust me. I really don't want your coach to get fired. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.